Good morning. Good morning, Christ Church. It's good to see you. I know it's a little chilly out there, but man, my heart is warm today or something like that. But it's good to see you. Good to be with you. Last week, we started looking at Proverbs chapter 3, and we talked about the pursuit of wisdom and how we all need wisdom in our life. You know, there isn't a playbook for every problem and challenge that we face, and we need God's wisdom to navigate those. So we're going to continue that today, but before we do, would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to, Lord, just receive from you, to open our hearts to you, to be directed by your word. And I pray that you'd bless us. I pray that you would teach us what it means and what it looks like to trust in you with all of our heart. And I pray, Father, that we could experience your gracious hand making the paths of our life straight. So help us, bless us, meet us in this time. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week, we were at dinner, and we have a dining room table that my cousin made us, and it's really cool. And it's really nice, and, you know, it's this beautiful wood. And my daughter Emery was, like, kind of kicking the underneath it, you know, just kind of, like, messing around. And she ended up getting a splinter in her foot off of it. And to my knowledge, in, you know, her 5 years of life, this is the first splinter that she's gotten. And so kind of once this happened, Allie and I were kind of trying to explain to her what was going on. And it was going okay at first. And like, hey, take your sock off. Let's look at this, you know, see what's going on, and took our sock off, and then we're like, all right, we're going to have to take this thing out. And as soon as we started talking along those lines, she lost her mind. And it was not just a little lose your mind. I mean, it was full scale freak out. And we couldn't get her out of it, you know. We were trying to explain it. At one point, you know, Allie was holding her, trying to just get her to relax, and it was just weeping and screaming and it was bad. And we were like, look, it'll take 2 seconds. You know, every trick in the book I could think of, and nothing was working, not even remotely. So finally, as Allie was holding her, I just grabbed her foot, you know, and she's like kicking it and all that, and I pulled it out. Now, thank God, it was like a big splinter. You know what I'm saying? You know how this goes. Like, if I would have had to use tweezers, I don't think I'd be here today. And it was big enough, and I could just grab it, and it wasn't very deep, and I pulled it out, and the whole episode was over. And as she was kind of calming down, you know, I just said, because, you know, I got to lecture her a little bit. It's just sort of in my DNA. But I said, hey, you know, Emery, now, was that really worth it? Was all of that crying and weeping and losing, was that really worth it? Like, we were just trying to help you, and you weren't letting us help you, and that took a fraction of a second. Was it worth it? And to be honest, church, I don't think she really heard me out. Can you believe that? I don't think the message was really received. But I gave it my best shot. And what we're going to talk about today is trusting God. And having that image in my mind, it made me wonder, you know, I wonder if sometimes I look like that in my relationship with God. You know, I wonder how many times the Lord's like, Chet, I just want to help you out. And all this energy that you're spending fighting me, all this energy that you're spending avoiding me, all this, anybody think that might be you sometimes? Can I get, yeah, me too. Like, where it's like, all this, is that really worth it? And every time the Lord's trying to help me, I'm kicking his hand away. And there's a lot better responses than fighting and kicking and avoiding. The other response we can do is just trust him and allow him to work and to help in our lives. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. And we're going to look at Proverbs 3. So where we left off last week was at verse 5. And we talked about the pursuit of wisdom and how to get there. And then it comes, and I think this is really the most important verse in chapter 3. This is kind of the centerpiece, the one to focus on above all others. And it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, just to put this in the context of wisdom, the wisest thing we can do as human beings is give full, unreserved trust to God. Now, I'm not saying that's a natural thing to do. I'm not saying that's the easy thing for people like us to do. I'm not saying that's the normal thing. But here's what I'm saying. That is the wisest thing to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, with everything you got. No, not half-hearted trust, not measured trust, but with all your heart. And then look at this part. Do not lean on your own understanding. It goes on, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So just notice the result of trusting in God is that our paths become straight. Now, this word straight could also be translated smooth. So your path gets smoothed out. But you kind of put them together, our path becomes straight and smooth, which that sounds good to me. I would like some straight and smooth paths in my life. Amen? Does that sound good? I don't want these hard right turns. I don't want all these elevations up and down. I want the straight and smooth. I want the most direct path. And so today, here's what I want you to hear today, that the quickest way to a better path, that today if we're on maybe a rough path, we're on a path that we know, like, man, this probably isn't the best path, but this is where I'm at. Here's how you get onto a better path: wholehearted trust in God. Or when we lose our way, how do we find our way back? Wholehearted trust in God. That is the path. That when we're facing confusing circumstances and we don't know where to go, how do we discern our path forward? Well, we go back to that fundamental commitment of wholehearted trust in God. So I want to explain this to us. And I want to just start by talking about that word trust for a moment. Now, the word trust is a word that is all through the pages of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. When we see that word in the New Testament, it's often called faith. But faith and trust are the same thing. They mean the same thing. They're trusting, they're believing, they're exercising a level of inner confidence in the reality and goodness of God. And so these verses begin with trust, and I want to just point out today that whether we know it or not, every one of us, even if we're not religious today, even if we don't even know what we believe, every one of us lives by faith in something. We are all creatures that we long to trust something as the guide to our lives. And we all do it, whether we realize it or not. I've read a lot of Jonathan Haidt. I've told you a little bit about him, but he's a social psychologist from NYU. And he writes a lot about how we make moral judgments as human beings and moral decisions. And one of the things that he says is we like to think that we're very reasonable and rational people, that we, you know, we come to a lot of our conclusions because we think it through, you know, A, B, C. But what he says is that that's actually not how we tend to arrive at a lot of the things that we think. He says a lot of it begins with intuition. And it begins sort of with an intuition, and then we create reasons that justify that intuition. Does that make sense? So it's like our belief wasn't really grounded in good evidence. It was more of a sense of intuition. And he cites a lot of these are kind of funny experiments to me, but they will like have people make a moral judgment about a situation, and they'll have a really foul smell in the room that they place intentionally. And so they'll say like, hey, make a decision about this, and there's like this really nasty odor in the room. And guess what? When there's a nasty odor, people make really harsh judgments. When there's a good order, when there's like a perfume or a cologne, they're like way more generous. So just if you're in a fight with your spouse, just douse yourself real quick. And it will all get, that's what I took from that. Maybe I missed a point. I don't know. But here's what he says about that, though, is he says that many times we first look to ourselves, how we feel, as the source of what we think is right and wrong. And so really, in a sense, many times our foundation of belief is faith in ourselves, which again, you know, as I've said many, many times, I don't think that's like the best foundation. But wherever we're at today, every one of us, we believe some foundational reality and truth about the world by faith. But what Proverbs shows us is that not everything is worth giving wholehearted trust and belief to. So when we talk about this word trust, part of the problem is all of us have had our trust broken at different times in our life. All of us have maybe believed in, you know, the wrong things or trusted people, and then that trust was betrayed. And as you go through those experiences in life, it makes trust sometimes a more difficult thing to keep extending. And sometimes we even think, well, you know, is that even a wise way to live, extending trust? I remember, it's kind of in a silly way, but when I was like in college, I was going to visit a friend who was at a college like, you know, a couple hours away, and I was driving there, and I went to the gas station. I was just like, you know, filling up the gas, not really paying attention to anything. And all of a sudden, this guy like shows up like right in my face. And I was like, oh, you know, kind of surprised me. And he starts like just pouring out this story about all these terrible things he's went through and how he just needs a couple bucks to, you know, get a bus and go somewhere. And I like I said, I was kind of out of it and I wasn't really paying a lot of attention. So I hear this story. I'm like, oh man, that sounds like terrible luck. And I had a couple bucks, so I gave it to him. And then he takes off in a full sprint. And then about a second later, I see flashing lights and I hear sirens. And the guy in the pump next to me, he's like, hey buddy, I think you just funded his getaway. And I was like, I think you're right. And you know, I was a little bit naive in that moment. I wasn't really, and then kind of as I thought about it, I was like, you know, it was weird that the guy was profusely sweating when he was talking to me. I think he was running there. He saw a vulnerable target and it worked out for him, you know, and he was off. And then, you know, and that's kind of a silly way trust is broken, but we've had a lot more serious ways it's broken in our life. And we tend to pull back and we tend to struggle in that area. And then here's what Proverbs says to us. Wholehearted trust is only meant for one who is wholeheartedly trustworthy. Now, the reality is life, even when our trust is burnt with people, we still need to learn to trust again. Because in relationships, we cannot live without learning and risking the vulnerability of trust. But it doesn't mean we don't get wiser. It doesn't mean we have healthy boundaries and all that. But in our relationship to God, you can never, according to Proverbs, you can never trust him too much. That in fact, Proverbs says, wholehearted trust is what God deserves because he is wholeheartedly trustworthy. And that there's only one person, there's only one being, there's only one foundation where you can just fully allow your heart to be absolutely committed to trusting him, and it's the reality of God. There's a great book called The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey, and it talks about how important trust is in organizations. And his big idea is that in organizations, when employees don't trust each other, when at work there isn't a good sense of trust, everybody's kind of looking behind their backs and things like that, he said that that actually makes cost go up. Because when you don't trust each other, you got to have all kinds of steps and controls. And it not only makes costs go up, it also makes the speed of the organization slow down. So things get slower and more expensive in the absence of trust. And in the reverse, they get cheaper and faster when trust is at a healthy place. And that, of course, is the goal. And in that book, he says there's four foundations that make someone trustworthy. And I just want to apply these to God for a moment to either, number one, show you how absolutely trustworthy God is, or number two, remind you of how trustworthy he is. Here's the first one. It's integrity. We are more willing to trust people who have integrity, who do what they say, who are congruent in how they live and what they believe. And I love what 1 John says about the reality of God, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Why should we trust God with all our whole heart? Well, because he has perfect integrity. All of us, we have imperfect integrity. We're trying to do better. We're trying to bridge the gap, but in all of us, there is darkness. And by God's grace, he's going to keep growing us out of it and helping us. But in God, there's no darkness at all. God is perfect in his character. And he is absolutely trustworthy. God is perfectly congruent in who he is. The second quality Covey talks about is intent. We've all probably been manipulated by someone. Maybe someone was trying to sell us something. And as soon as you start to feel that sense of, okay, what's their agenda here? We retract trust, right? We pull it back. And I just want to remind you, what is God's intent towards you today? Some of us, maybe we kind of harbor this idea in our mind that God's going to bait and switch me. God's going to pull me in, and he's going to be like, oh, hey, now that you're here, I'm sending you to the Congo to be a missionary. God, I don't know. God's gonna bait and switch us somehow, in some way. But here's what I want you to know. Romans 8:28 reminds us that those who love God, all things work together for good. That at the end of the day, God's purpose for you and me is good. Now, I know life gets really confusing. And I know that sometimes we look at what's happening, we look at our circumstances, and we say, God, how can your intent be good? But the scriptures remind us again and again that God's purpose is bigger than our circumstances and our experiences, and that ultimately, in light and in reality of eternity, God's goodness will become clearer and clearer and clearer, even in the fuzzy moments in our life. What is God's agenda in your life? It is good for you and me. In fact, he's the only one that seeks your good in the most pure and wholehearted way. Here's the next one, capabilities, Covey talks about. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Lord God, it's you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power, by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Why should we full-heartedly trust God? Because there is no one more capable to help us than God. Nothing is too hard for God. I know we go through hard things, but we cannot forget nothing is too hard for him, and he is with us. And lastly, results. What is the results of trusting God? What happens? See, we've maybe trusted in people at times, and then the results weren't good. What happens when you trust in God? Here's what Romans says. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. That when you trust God, you will never have a sense of shame about it. You won't have a sense of regret. Now, I've walked with God long enough to 100% believe in the truth of this. The times that I regret most in my life are when I didn't trust God. Or when I look back and I'm like, Chet, man, if I could do that over, I would trust him more. And the problem areas are when I trusted myself or I trusted something else and God was put to the sidelines. Because here's what I've experienced again and again and again and again in my life is God is fully trustworthy, church. He is fully trustworthy. And Proverbs says, trust him with all your heart. He is worthy of it. He deserves it. He is the only one that we can give unreserved whole trust to. And then it says this, do not lean on your own understanding. Now, this part I think is so helpful to think about in our lives. Trust the Lord with all your heart, but don't lean on your own understanding. And this is about acknowledging the gap, the differential between us and God. See, if I lean on my own understanding, it's going to come at odds with my trust in God. Here's what I mean. We've all went through experiences in life, and maybe some of us really deeply wrestle with these questions. Like, all right, Chet, if God is trustworthy, why did this happen? If God is trustworthy, why did this person die? Why did God allow this to happen in my life? Why did these circumstances work out this way? And through life, those questions are normal and natural, and they'll probably affect us all to some level and to some degree. But this is where Proverbs helps us so much. It says, don't lean on your own understanding. Let me explain this. I love the writings of Elizabeth Elliot. She is this very insightful woman who served God her whole life, but she has not had an easy life. Her first husband was killed on the missionary field. He was a young man. They were a young couple. He was killed going to a remote tribe in South America and just brutally killed. Very difficult circumstance. As a young mom, a young wife, no matter what your age, that would be difficult. Then she married again, and her husband died of a very rare disease. She just had a very, very difficult life. But yet, she exercised this incredible trust in God. And she said one day she was in Wales, in the countryside, and she was watching a shepherd sort of, you know, prepare his sheep for going out and grazing. And the shepherd was taking these sheep, and the shepherd was pulling them up this ramp and putting them in this chemical so that the sheep would not get parasites and all these kind of things that sheep are prone to and get when they're out grazing and going around and things like that. And so the shepherd would dunk them in this chemical, and then they would, you know, be prepared to go out. And as this was happening, she realized the sheep absolutely hated this. They were doing everything they could to not go in that, you know, so they would try and run away. And the shepherd was kind of rough with them because he had to grab them, get them up the ramp, dunk them in. And she said, it occurred to me that the shepherd did not take the time and go and explain to the sheep what he was doing and why he was doing it. But he just did it and just went. Now, we know the shepherd was actually being a good shepherd, wasn't he? The shepherd was actually helping the sheep. Did the sheep understand that? Absolutely not. Now, let's just say the shepherd did take the time, and he went to the sheep, and he said, hey, little sheep, what's going to happen now is I'm going to take you up this scary ramp, and it's going to be cold, and you're not going to like it, and then I'm going to take you and dunk you in this. Do you think that that would have made any difference in the scenario? I tried to explain to Emery what we were doing. Made zero difference. Might even made it worse. I don't know. She said as she was reflecting on that, she realized that as much distance as there is between the sheep and the shepherd, there is infinitely more distance between us and God. Infinitely more. Now, church, there are things that happen and we experience in life that are incomprehensible to us, but that does not mean we don't have a good shepherd. That means that there is distance between us. And truthfully, just like if the shepherd went to explain the sheep, if God explained everything that happened to us and the eternal implications for us, church, we couldn't comprehend it. Even if he did, we could not absorb and receive it. And so leaning not on our own understanding acknowledges there is a great differential between me and God. And in those moments where the gap is real to me, and I'm being pulled up the ramp and dipped into the chemical stuff, whatever it's called, I want to lean out on my own understanding. And I want to learn in that moment that I can trust God with my whole heart and recognize there's a gap, there's a distance, and he still is a good shepherd. You with me on this? And I'm not saying that's easy, but I'm saying that's part of a healthy faith. That's part of a maturing faith. That's how we stay on the path of wisdom. Church, can I remind you, you cannot discern God's love by your circumstances. If you're looking at your circumstances as the way to understand God's love, you will never understand it or have assurance of it. If you're like, well, I know God loves me because life is going well. Well, as soon as life gets difficult, then you start questioning, well, does God love me? Is he good? We can't judge God's love by our circumstances. Here's what we need to do. We need to use God's love as the lens through which we judge our circumstances. Say, yes, this circumstance is difficult, but I know God still loves me. I know God is still for me. I know he is still a good shepherd. So that reality becomes the lens through which I evaluate and understand everything that happens in my life. You with me on this, church? Lean not on your own understanding. Then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, this word acknowledge is a little bit deeper than that. It's the word to pursue. So it's not just sort of acknowledge that God exists, that God is there, but you desire him. So desire or pursue God in all our ways. And let me just give you a couple ways that I think we can do that. Number one, we do it by just giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to him. That's just a simple way to acknowledge and pursue God in all my ways, that I want to be more grateful. I want to be more thankful for God's work in my life. I love what 1 Thessalonians says. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And this line is the one that really gets me. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then look at the line that follows. This is the will of God. That's really profound to me. What is the will of God? When you study the will of God in the New Testament, it's always simple things like this. It's not work here, work there, live here, live there, do this or do that. It's always things like this. Here's what the will of God is. Give thanks in all circumstances. If you do that, you're living out God's will for your life. Isn't that cool? Not necessarily easy, but that's powerful. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I don't know about you, but that's something I can do better. This week, I took Emery. We went and saw Keystone put a whooping to Firelands. We went to a baseball game. It was awesome. And Emery was so excited to go. And it was a beautiful evening. The weather was great. And it was just kind of like nice time with her, and we had a great time watching them play, and I was driving home, and my heart was filled with gratitude, you know? I was just like, man, God, thank you. Just thank you for the moments. Thank you for, it was just such a beautiful evening. And then as I was thanking God, I was kind of thinking to myself, I was like, Chet, you haven't really been here for a while, you know? You haven't been filled with gratitude, you know? You've kind of been a little discontent about a lot of things, and this is a good place for you to be. But you can't wait till everything aligns to be there. It can't just be based on the weather. and how your day went. It's got to be based on something different. And that's what acknowledging God in all our ways is. I want to give God thanks. I want to do it as a practice in my life, because here's the truth. There is always plenty of reason for me to do it. God has been so kind to me, so great. The fact that I'm alive for another day, that's enough to give God thanks. If I were God, I would have taken me out a long time ago. Amen? Like, I annoy myself. I can't imagine how annoying I am to him. But God continues to give mercy. God continues to give grace. Give thanks all in all circumstances. Here's the second thing, is that I want to focus more on what God is asking me to do instead of focusing on what I'm asking God to do. I tend to be pretty good at knowing what I want God to do. Lord, if you could help me here, if you could do this in my life, you could do that. But I don't always put as much attention to saying, but God, what do you want me to do? What are you asking out of me? And acknowledging him in all our ways is having more of a focus on what God wants and less of a focus on what I want. I'm going to trust that what God wants is what's best for me. I'm going to trust that what God wants, that his intent is good. And so I want to tune in to him. And then third, put God first in every way. What does it mean to put him first in our career, in our families, in our finances, in every area of our life? What does it look like to put God first? Jesus says this. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and the rest will be added to you. Jesus says, you worry about putting me first, I'll worry about everything else in your life. And isn't it so frustrating that we do the exact opposite? We worry about everything else in our life, and we're like, Lord, you'll take care of your kingdom and all that stuff. I won't worry about it. But Jesus says, no, you seek my kingdom first. Put that first, and I'll worry about everything else. And I'll tell you what, if we put it all the rest into God's hands, it's in the best place it can be. If we hold it and keep it in our hands, it's on shaky ground. He is trustworthy. And then the promise of all this, God will make our paths straight. He'll make it straight. It might not be straight right now, but here's the beauty. You put your trust in him, it will straighten out. You might be on a bad path today, but you know the way off of it is going back and recommitting yourself to Jesus Christ. You may feel lost and confused. You might be like, man, what a mess I'm in right now. Well, here's the good news. The way back, it begins with your heart first. It begins with responding to God with a deeper trust. And God will make our path straight. Now, the calling of Proverbs to trust in God with our whole heart is not an easy thing, because maybe today we want that, but we're like, but man, that's hard for me. I struggle to give God my wholehearted trust. Maybe today we're just kind of like, man, yeah, trust's a hard thing for me. Life, I've had some rough experiences. I've had a lot of broken trust, and trusting anyone, let alone God, it's a difficult thing. And I just want to remind you today of one powerful story in the Gospels. And a man needed Jesus' help, and he came up to Jesus because his son was very, very sick and struggling. And he asked Jesus to help, but he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, you might think, you know, if you don't know the story, you might be like, well, how did Jesus respond to that? And here's what he didn't do. He didn't say, all right, guy, well, you come back when you fully believe, and then I'll help you. He didn't do that. He didn't say to him, well, listen, guy, I've done a lot of miracles around you. You probably heard of them. You've probably seen them. You've known some of the people. And I'm kind of offended that you don't fully believe. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He blessed the man's request. He honored it. He helped his unbelief. And I just want to remind you today, and I want to encourage you today, that Christ will help us to trust in God with our whole heart. Christ will meet us in our unbelief, and he will build it, and he will strengthen it, and he will grow it. And you know what? And as it grows and as it strengthens, our path will become straighter. And today, I just want to encourage you that as we close today, as we pray and as we sing, could we just whisper that prayer to Christ today? Say, I want to trust in you with my whole heart, but if I'm honest, I don't. Help my unbelief today. Help me where my trust is lacking today. Maybe it's lacking in a place I don't even know it. I don't even see it. But help me to believe in you. And church, I just want you to know, man, we have a God that is so gracious, that is so good. He will meet us in our unbelief, and he will strengthen it. And he will build it. And he will help us to trust him. And then he's so good, he will bless us for trusting him. Like, well, Lord, you helped me to do it. Like, I don't care, I'll still bless you for it. That's how good he is today. And so could we open up our hearts to him? Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to live lives of faith. Father, without faith, it's impossible to please you. And Lord, there are so many things that attack our faith, and there's so many ways that we hold our faith back, and there's so many things that get in the way. And Lord, today we're just coming to you like that man came to you, and we're saying, help our unbelief. Father, I know you are worthy of all our trust. And yet, Lord, I also know in my life I struggle to give it to you. And Father, I'm sorry. And Lord, we pray for your forgiveness and your grace, and we pray for your help to strengthen and build our faith today. I pray, Father, that we would be those people that trust you with all our heart. I pray, Lord, where our paths are not in the best place. Maybe they're a little crooked. Maybe we've wandered off, Lord, whatever. I pray you would make them straight. I pray you would make them smooth. And I pray, Lord, that we can see the wisdom of trusting you. That, Father, we could see the wisdom of living life and recognizing those who trust in you will not be put to shame. Help us in this. Strengthen us in this. Bless us in this. In Jesus' name, amen.